Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. For Larry and me, Thanksgiving and Christmas pretty much come at the same time. My stepdaughter's family lives in Virginia, and we don't travel there all that often, so Thanksgiving has become the holiday that we share with family. But a few years after our granddaughters were born, we began to feel that we were missing out. We wanted to be there on Christmas morning. We wanted to watch the girls open up their presents. We wanted to see their delight in the gifts that we gave them. So we all decided that we would have Christmas at Thanksgiving. And there are several other birthdays to celebrate as well, and so we end up opening a lot of presents. We did that on Friday. And Thanksgiving has become a big family giving time. And I find giving to family deeply rewarding, even though for Larry and me this means that we've got to get our act together a lot earlier than we would like to figuring out what we're going to give people for Christmas. So we go online, we look and see what people have on their online wish lists, and so we take some time to review them, and sometimes we've bought other things during the course of the year, but we always find ourselves asking, a little Scrooge-like, do they really need more Legos? And that was actually a very good question to have asked this year, because they've got about half of their playroom covered with Legos. Do we really want to spend that much money on a particular gift? So we do ask these questions, but we really don't ever question the act of giving itself. Giving to those that we love comes easily, and having gifts to give just gives us joy, and hopefully it brings our family some joy as well. But in this passage from Matthew, Jesus points out that not all giving seems to come that easily. In particular, when we're trying to give to the least in our society, does not come automatically. Some people give and some people do not give. And this passage is pretty clear, however, that we are to give. We are directed to give. But this isn't the only place in the Bible that we're told to do this, that we're told to share with the poor. We're told that same thing, in fact, over and over again. For example, in Leviticus, there's a commandment to leave the gleanings of the grain and the grapes and the olives. Do not reap to the very edges of your field, we're told. You shall not gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. What a countercultural idea. Leave something behind that belongs to us? Wow, the Bible is saying that what you grow and what you produce, it's not just for you, it's for everyone in your community, especially those who don't have as much. So don't scrape your plate clean. Be ready to share. You are to give to those in need, whether it comes naturally or not. That's there in the Bible. And Jesus takes this and he runs with it. He expands on it. He says, when you give to those who are hungry or thirsty, when you welcome the stranger or visit the person who is sick or the person in prison, all of these who are least of the members of my family, you do it to me. Now, some in this passage give and some don't, but neither of them recognize that it's Jesus who's involved here. They don't recognize Jesus in the face of the person who needs their help. Because recognizing Jesus can be hard to do, especially when we are looking at those whom Jesus calls the least of these. So often we find ourselves looking at someone who's different from us, and it is really hard to see Jesus in their face, especially if we're looking at the face of somebody who is addicted, or if we're looking at the face of someone who's really angry. Hard to find Jesus there, isn't it? Or perhaps you go down to St. Vincent's. It can be hard to see Jesus in the face of some of the people we serve there. It can be hard to see Jesus in the face of someone who is yelling at their kid or mistreating an older person. It is hard to recognize Jesus, but I think most of us believe that it's not really that hard to recognize somebody who deserves our help. The deserving poor, after all, are grateful, aren't they? The deserving poor take what we give them without saying what they really wanted. The deserving poor are looking for a job, aren't they? When we talk about the sheep and the goats, we know who belongs into which category. The deserving poor get our praises, and the undeserving poor get, well, thrown into jail, maybe. I think we're naturals at being judge and jury when it comes to the least of these. But that's not the way Jesus sees it. As it turns out, we're not the ones being asked to be judges here. The judge is Jesus. He is the king. He is our Lord and King. He's not God's lowly assistant. Jesus is God's presence right down at our level, down with us. Jesus is what God looks like, and he judges us on the basis of generous and broad giving. Not just giving to those people who are easy to give to, but also those who are hard to give to. In this passage, Jesus shows his disciples how to give and who to give to. They are to give to the least of these, both deserving and undeserving. Why? Because they are members of Jesus' family. They wear the face of Christ. And it turns out that the least of these, the least of the people in need, are what Jesus looks like. They help us recognize Jesus. And so Jesus asks us to give to all, not because they're deserving or undeserving. That's not our job to decide. Jesus asks to give to them because they're members of the family of Christ. And so we don't have to worry too much about whether people deserve our help or not. Instead, we're invited to think about how to view people in need as members of our family, too. How to develop a relationship with them. Because isn't that what family is all about, relationship? When a family is healthy, relationships are close, and when relationships are distant, the family just is not all that it could be. We had kind of an unexpected thing happen on Friday during our gift giving. One granddaughter had asked for a special jump rope. And so in the spirit of equality, we thought, well, both granddaughters should have a jump rope, shouldn't they? So first granddaughter opened it, and she was delighted. Second granddaughter started opening it, and she said, this had better not be a jump rope. If this is a jump rope, I don't want it. This is coming from the mouth of a six-year-old. And so we were all really rather taken aback. You know, that's not how we expected our gifts to go. You know, and I started thinking, well, gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be giving them any Christmas gifts next year. But this is our family. These are the people that we love, and I want to nurture and deepen the relationship with them. Well, it turns out, I think she was just having a bad day, because later in the day, we went for a walk, and they both took their jump ropes with them and enjoyed them very much. So I did not have to feel bad about those jump ropes. When we broaden our sense of family, when we broaden our sense of family to include those who are in need, we're in fact getting closer to Jesus. And when we look into a human face, any human face, we see Christ. And we see a family member of ours as well. It's a joy to have an opportunity to get to know Christ better. And so this Sunday, after Thanksgiving, I invite you all to come into God's presence with thanksgiving, to give thanks for everything that we have, the bounty of our earth and the ability to share it, and for the wide variety of people that we have on this earth that we get to share things with. In our giving and in our sharing, we become like God. We give with joy, with generosity. We give with love, and we draw people into our family. We give to our loved ones, and we get to know them a little bit better as we do. This passage is a vital one, I think, for our faith. But it's not just a plug for food pantries. It's not just an invitation to give food for food pantries, although they definitely need our contributions. Fish is always needing more. And it's definitely not a command to feel sorry for people. Feeling sorry for folks is never going to make them into a family member. This passage is about love and how we live out love. And we do that by giving, by family giving, abundantly, full to overflowing. We're not going to worry about whether they have enough Legos. We're not going to question how many pies there already are at Thanksgiving. We're going to give out of love. And we discover that where there is a need, where there is love, there is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.